Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Bro Chat. Welcome to the Bro Chat, where the Afterburn Podcast and the Kodiak Check Podcast merge, bringing you all the answers you didn't ask for, where fighter pilots solve all the world's problems and forget to write the answers. Join your hosts, Jeff Vader Brandon and Jeff Bender Page of the Kodiak Shack Podcast and John Rainwaters of the Afterburn Podcast as they dive into all the solutions you didn't know you needed.
We're back.
Who's got this one?
Finally.
Nobody has this one. It's been too long.
No idea.
It's the Wild West.
Remember the last time we recorded this, like 2 years ago? That's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I was still wet behind the ears, Eagle driver.
Yeah, look at you now.
Just a terrible Eagle driver.
Gray beard.
Season.
That's right.
Season. I think Bender should do an intro here.
Yeah. His are the best.
Yeah, they are.
Mine are the worst. Clearly the worst. They're terrible.
That's why they're the best.
I always expect you guys to edit them out, and then I listen to the podcast, and you just left it in there.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
And this is part of the intro right now that you're doing, so there we go.
Just all this dead time. Welcome, everybody. We're back. It's been, I don't know, a long time since February, which was that's deep in the winter where I come from. But now it's sunny out here in Utah. There's still snow in the mountains, but not in my yard, which is nice. Anyway, welcome, Vader there and Rain. Which is always exciting. We didn't get a fourth guest today because we thought we'd go back to the core bros for just one episode. And then we'll hopefully get together again in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So what's been happening, fellas?
Man, a lot's been happening. We're finally hitting summer. Thankfully, we went from 55 degrees to right around 90, so that's good. So
I love skipping spring straight to summer.
Yeah. Nobody wants spring. That's just where like flowers and nice days outside. Not for me. You know. That's what we got going on here. Just shirking my responsibility.
Yeah, well, you've completed your transition, and going to the Eagle, we probably can more ways than one. But how's that been?
Yeah, it's good. MQT complete took a little longer because the Jets, you know, they got to say. Finally, they threw down, which I don't believe it until the Jets are on the ramp, but F-15EX, that's in my future. So that'll be neat, apparently. I've got to see some cool stuff flying around in the C model. I've been gunned a couple times, which is not my favorite. Saw the 35 roll up some Eagles in air to air as red air. So it's been a lot of fun.
I got my good buddy Dave. He should be listening to this. He's a flight doc. He was really bummed when the announcements came out because he's at Barnes. And Barnes is getting the F-35. Yeah. Like, he just wants to get in the backseat of a Viper. It's probably any fighter, but I'm saying a Viper. Best fighter out there. So, I mean, it sounds like that's going to be kind of tough to do at Barnes because they're getting the 35, right? And then you guys are getting the EX. Then they announced someone else was getting the EX or 35. I can't remember. They made several announcements. Again, it's been like
NOLA. Yeah, they're getting the EX as well.
Ah, interesting.
Oh, nice.
So
this is the
is it two guard units that are gonna get it? You guys and then New Orleans,
and Portland. So Portland was already thrown down. So Kadena, Portland, Fresno, and NOLA are gonna be EX someday.
Kadena.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Yeah,
really?
That's
like active duty?
That's. Yeah, so that's what was supposed to – that's why they were getting rid of all the C models was because they were like, the EX is on its way. Checks in the mail.
Yeah, definitely count on that. Because it wasn't it supposed to be like 120-ish jets? But that's be weird. That's a weird balance of like, hey, you get one active duty squadron, three guard units. I can definitely see this coming to fruition. No issues.
Yeah. Well, so there have been – I'm pretty sure there have already been three environmental impact surveys done for Fresno to transition to possibly the 35 or the EX, which the EX should be, if nothing, easier, because it does. It's not a Pratt 220 that just pisses fuel on the ground every time you shut down. So the environment will probably appreciate the GE129s. But they've already done three, and it said this is the press release said this is all pending an environmental impact study. And it's like, I feel like that is the like get out of jail free card where they're going to say like, well, you know, the environmental impact survey didn't work out, and then the whole plan's going to change. But
100%.
Either way, they've at least thrown down
the fact that Vermont and Madison got the 35, because again, environmental impact study in the Grand Rapids, not talk about fuel being dumped on the ground, but just the noise pollution that those two places let that happen is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if it was on accident or on purpose, but it seems like West Coast is kind of EX, like West Coast PACAF, and then East Coast is kind of 35 heavy. So I don't know if there was a reason for that or if that was on accident.
That way you guys can be the leading
edge.
They
all have, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
We need you to be the leading edge. You got to have that big old hunk of metal out there. Yeah, so that we cannot be seen. That's the key to fifth gen. It's really bad fourth gen out there.
Can I not be the leading edge, though? Can I just be in trail of said leading edge?
No, that's not good for us. That
doesn't work out. I was talking to somebody, and they were saying that they had 35s were running cold. This is a long time ago. This was years ago. It might have been Jicto. And 35s were running cold, and Vipers were bonsai. And they're, like, in the debrief, and they're like, why aren't you guys bonsai here? And they're like, it's way more survivable if we do not trespass Mar. And it's like,
valid.
I agree. Yeah. Like, oh, man. So good.
It is. We did. You guys remember Red Russell? Did you ever meet? You know Red Russell, right?
Yeah, I met Red.
And he just had his Finny flight last week. And so we did. It was awesome. We did a four, so an 8-ship DCA, so cap swap out against, I think we had 12 Red Air, F-35 Red Air. Anyway, it was a rager. It was awesome. But I had learned the week prior that, I was getting nervous having these conversations. It's being recorded. Anyway, I've been complaining this entire time, like fourth gen tactics, like they're money. And then with, okay, you know what? I'm not going to go where I'm going with this until we're offline. But it's pretty interesting. Bottom line, it was awesome. And you can't do the things that you used to do. Yeah, fourth gen, because people, like the stern wes of these things is insane. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, hey, we're just going to like think real small, go as far into their territory as you can, basically. I'm trying to get shot. Anyway, it was awesome. Bottom line, good times. Also, edit this part out, if you guys don't mind.
I
marked the clip.
Marked it.
Yeah, marked the tape.
I just need to remember to do that.
I'm all nervous. We just had our security briefings about the Massachusetts Guardsmen or whatever.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, I'm not going to even tell anybody I even fly the F-35 because you know they're just looking for the first person to string up.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Well, we had that same meeting.
Yeah, I was like, I'm surprised there hasn't been a mandatory like CBT that's been accomplished yet, but I guess you guys are doing briefings. So.
Oh, they're, yeah. We did a mandatory stand down. Yeah.
Yeah. Intel had like a whole brief, and it was effectively telling you everything that you've already agreed to with your NDAs and everything else. It's like, I won't be a complete fool.
I will not go into Discord and have arguments
and
take documents from a secure network and then use that
to prove it.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, man. The slides did end with all the people they've thrown in jail, you know, over the past however long for security breaches. People notice that there's no vice presidents or presidents or secretaries of state that were thrown in jail for any of these kind of things. So.
Do you ever,
weird.
One of the, I think it was Blitz. He was talking about when he was working on the Hill, just the things that staffers would say openly, you know, because they're not, while they're read into all these different things, I don't know if they fully understand that, like, oh, no, you can only say this behind this, you know, 6-inch steel door. They're like, no, just running
they
around.
They definitely don't know.
Yeah, texting about it and stuff. Like, that was anyone in the military, they'd be in jail.
Yeah. Well, and this isn't a spear to security people, because I work with a lot of security people, but a lot of them don't really even understand or know, like, the secrets that they know. Like, they're obviously briefed to secrets, and they don't They just don't, they like ignore it and they keep living their life. So I can only imagine a staffer getting a 2-hour brief of all this information of varying classifications. And then they're like, yeah, I know exactly where that falls. I mean, I didn't know most of the stuff for like almost a decade of my career to like truly feel confident about like talking about things and not talking about things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Not to shift gears, but I got to apologize to all the Kodiak Shack listeners. I said it at the beginning of the podcast, and I'll say it again. I'm terrible at my job. Rain and Bender know this. But, Rain, you'll get a kick out of this. So I got feedback that the commercials that are, like, embedded into the show were, like, high. And then I was like, gosh, okay, if the commercials are louder than the audio, I got to pump that audio up. We got to bring that audio higher. Pump
it. Give it some more.
So I was creating a bigger delta between the commercial, and so people would run, like, they'd be running it, like, lower, and then the commercial would come in, like, way over the top. And so finally, John, apparently you know him as well, Rain, and he reached out, and he was like, hey, you're screwing the pooch on this one. And I didn't know, I apologize, everyone, I didn't know there's, like, a just, like, a master decibel levels that you're running. And I was above the commercial. So what it was doing was creating, the commercials were like way higher than they should have been. So then I finally set my master audio to the same decibel levels as the commercials. Now I think we're good. But yeah. I haven't heard.
These are all feedback. The things that you're like, I don't know. There's things I know now that one, I never thought I would know about nor care about. But yeah, you're like, oh, minus 17 lufs. I just don't know what that means, but. That's what I set everything to. All right.
There you
That's
go.
The key.
I think it works.
Yeah.
So yeah, people probably ears are bleeding and they just haven't said anything, but
yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know, a year into it, Vader. So you learned one thing in over a year. Like that's a pretty good pace of
that is know, that's better than curve. Most things.
Yeah. There is a slope to it, so that's good.
One thing.
One thing.
Did you guys see that Viper crash at was it Osan last week?
I just saw the video from like a closed caption TV video.
Yeah.
Was it a RACAF one, right? Or was it a US?
No, it was US. Well, oh, that's at US. Least what a press release I saw.
Oh.
Yeah, Did you see the parachute? Down. Yeah. It was like a late ejection. Like maybe like 300 feet, something like that, 400 feet.
That looks not good.
Yeah.
Not where you want to be. It's better than being in the fireball, but.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, he was definitely, he was well clear of the jet and everything. But, yeah, it was the parachute was relatively low, like, in the video. It looked like terrible weather. Not surprising. Rain, you know, low clouds. So,
yeah.
I wonder if it was some sort of spatial D or something.
Man, we break a lot of jets in Korea. I'm not sure it's worth the squeeze, honestly. All those young, inexperienced people, and they just, like, fly in terrible conditions and then crash jets every 8 months, it seems like.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because you don't hear about the class whatever Bs and Cs that happen, like, constantly.
Going off the end of the runway, things. And actually, I saw Paco had just posted the picture of the Raptor from 5 years ago that had the gear up. Early retraction, like it just flew for the first time this week. That's the point too. It's like, while not all of these things end in fireballs, like they might be all bent up and get put back together again, but it might take 3-4 years to do that. It's not like we have a whole lot of Vipers, I don't think, but I don't know. What do I know?
I mean, they're building new ones, you know. Can we just get a replacement one every time we crash one?
You should, right?
Block 70s would be sweet, wouldn't they?
God, that'd be so awesome.
Is there insurance on these? Is it like your car? Like, okay, we'll pay you 84% of the value of your F-16.
Tax dollars.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just tax dollars.
Just pretend. Keep raising the debt ceiling and then it's good. You can keep buying as many as you want.
That's right. That's a thing right now, right? They're worried about that.
Yeah.
Debt ceiling.
I think it's coming up next. Is that June? They got to raise it again? Imagine there's some, like, ramifications. Yeah. It's just like, if we had a budget every year. I didn't do my annual tour until April. I wanted to do it in January, but it's like, we really can't do it in January because usually we don't have a budget by that point, so we wouldn't have funding. We're like, this is like a known thing every single year. Could we just not just figure this out? No. No is the answer. No. We cannot.
Yes.
Yeah. It's brutal. And then, well, for like our, in our wing, whatever, the previous year will have gone, obviously, you know, terribly because they didn't have the money. So they like guessed where they'd get the money or win. And that was right. All wrong. So like the next year, like, okay, this year we got burned because of X, Y, Z. So this year we're going to do this and it should take care of that. And of course, like this year's problems are completely different than last year's. So last year's is still a fireball. And then now we have a new fireball of the stuff that we don't get paid for this year. So it's just like, what are we doing? But do you use Todd C. Rain for your
work? Oh, my God. Yes, I'm just going through that process right now, which I was trying to certify.
I'm terrified to come off of my AGR orders because of that. But
well, and that, so for my annual tour, I had to use that, right, to certify. But then this whole my FSS transition, which, oh, by the way, too, I probably should ask you, I have an OPR that's supposed to close out at the end of the month that I don't even know. Now it's like a narrative form. None of this stuff works. And you go to like the links, like, oh, this website's shut down. It redirects you here. Click on this, and it'll take you to the appropriate thing. And now it takes you to the old website. Like, who does this? Like, they are, like, if you're so bad at their jobs. Like, it's amazing. Like, I know this is not ready. I don't know. This, I'm going through the process right now trying to certify my orders, and it has been a nightmare. The point where I'm, I just don't care anymore. Like, I don't care. If this is how bad you are doing.
Yeah, we have like probably hundreds of thousands of dollars of orders that aren't paid out in our wing, and everybody's like, you can just keep the money. It's not worth me freaking going in and trying to chase it down. But I guess like the fix right now is, because if you're supposed to like just sign it and then send it, right? And then it emails your commander to approve it, but it gets lost somewhere. Instead of emailing your commander, it just goes to wherever it goes, but nobody sees it. So now they're like, okay, email it to yourself. And if you don't see it within 10 minutes, like this is our new fix because we've been dealing with this for a year. They're like, if you don't see it in 10 minutes, then print it out, handwrite it all, walk it over to finance. They'll handwrite their part or whatever. And then once you get paid, sometime in the next year, you got to scan it back in, email it to Todd, to wherever, Arrows or whatever thing, so that you can get, because you'll get paid, but you won't get credit for the working the day towards your retirement or whatever.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's all. That's honestly all I care about. I just want the credit.
Yeah, exactly. So make sure you keep all the hard copies, scan them in, email them, and then make sure at some point in the next year that it's added to your days that you work towards your retirement or whatever. I'm like, who's got freaking time for that? So now the joke is you get two what are called RMPs, but they're like office work paydays. Like you can use two office work paydays for every one order that you're trying to get submitted because it takes so long just to get the thing approved by the commanders or whatever. It is a disaster.
I'm glad we talked about this because I didn't know that. I was like, again, I only care about the points. I don't even care about getting paid. But then, too, it's like I don't have time to spend 8 hours doing something that should take 3 minutes. Just mind-numbing. The other piece, too, is I emailed my orders, which has my Social Security number on it, and I have a different government address now, which also is different with encryption, which I couldn't encrypt it. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to get locked out because of some, you know, like, oh, you sent personal identifiable information. It's like, you gave me no choice or I'll just use Gmail.
And isn't it yours?
Right. That's like, I was forced to forfeit the security piece of it because, but it was my choice.
How was it always this way? How you can build, you know, it's like F-35s. It's all of these things that like are amazing technology. And it's like, can't get paid though. Like I can do all the other stuff, but I can't get paid.
Everyone complains about this, right? But again, let's just say my civilian employer, if they want me to work within a matter of minutes, I can go pick up a trip to go fly. And then, oh, by the way, all the pay and everything, it's done automatically. Like it's in the system. Like I don't have to worry about this or that. And I don't know if I need to log in, I can quickly log in with, you know, an Okta Verify, just like that new FSS has anywhere in the world. And I can do it in seconds and handle whatever I need to do. And apparently our United States military can't figure that out.
That's too tough. Yeah.
And there's like thousands of finance people in the military getting paid to do this.
Right. It's their job.
Like seven at FedEx, right?
If even FedEx that
nail it with seven people. If seven. And it's not even ever, it's probably wrong every once in a while, but they fix it, like you said, like within 15 minutes of noticing the error, it's like corrected. Though the DOD is really good at figuring out when you owe them money. So that somehow happens really fast. So I'm not sure how that goes. We overpaid you $75. We noticed like 3 minutes ago you owe us. I'll just pay $75. But like, oh no, you can't just pay it back. Like, you know, it's going to take 9 months for you to go through the process of paying back $75. Or we're going to put you in jail.
Did I tell you the story of the guy being sent to collections from DFAS?
Oh, gosh.
So I can't remember.
I don't think so.
He's a fellow pilot. He was transitioning from either the reserves or the guard, AGR to traditional, like one way or the other, right? He's moving units. So he moves units, goes through that whole process. Again, I have talked about that, the fact that like, oh, you've only paid this one bank account for 15 years. Just keep paying that. You're like, nope, you got to resubmit all your paperwork. And again, it's not easy. So he moves units, and then about a year later, he gets a notice from a collection agency that he owes, it's like $27.33. Like, he's been sent to collections. It's DFAS, and for those listening, that's the company that handles, or the entity that handles all the payment processing for at least the Air Force and probably all DOD. So miraculously, he's able to get someone on the phone. I don't know how that happens. It probably cost him 12 hours of his life. And she naturally takes an attitude with him that he didn't pay this. And it's like, well, where'd you mail this? And she reads the address and he goes, can you read that address again? She snidely reads the address again. DFAS was mailing themselves the collection, the overpayment notice to this guy. And so they kept sending it to themselves. They didn't even send it to him, and then like sent him to collections. You're like, what? Like, what are you doing? So,
That's funny.
Yeah. So
world's most powerful military, right there.
Boom. You better shake in your boots.
That's right. Oh man, it's always something. Funny. It's always something. What can you do?
Yeah,
it would be cool, because I feel like the Guard and Reserves have the same problem. I think people would stay around a lot longer if they cleaned up the rest of the non, like the mission support group side. Like if it was, you know, like I fell off of orders for one day, so like my family falls out of DEERS, so they don't have health insurance, and all of our like painstaking efforts to get a primary care manager and to be on a specific like care plan all falls out. And then you have to call and you have to talk to people, and maybe you can control it. I don't know to how I could control it personally, but there's I guess there's Meal Connect or whatever, but it's always a nightmare to get these things done again. And then it's like, oh, well, we don't have your orders. And it's like, but they exist. Like there's somewhere where you can access my orders other than me getting them to you. So yeah, if you're listening, NGB,
figure it out.
With all due respect, yeah.
My thing is like, I am doing the Guard and Reserve, right? Like, you still have a desire to serve and do something for your country. However, in most cases, unless you are full time in AGR, it's not your primary means of paying for everything and earning a living and taking care of your family. So it's like, all right, if the flag goes up and you need me, yep, all right, I'll be there, right? That's why you're serving. But when it's not really that, and it's more or less just like admin and maintaining readiness, you need to make it easy for people to go out there and serve and not make it an extra burden. Like, in order to go onto orders, that's probably going to burn 8 hours of my life, all this different stress and trying to email people. Trying to get it done, which point in case, trying to get onto my annual tour, lo and behold, like nothing works. And it's four phone calls, multiple emails, just trying to go to work. Like the thing you hired me to do, you want me to come to work? Like, make it easy for me to come to work. Don't make me jump through all these hoops to come to work. Like, otherwise I'll go to my other job that really pays the bills and it's super easy to go to work. So that's my thing. It's just, it's so frustrating.
It's maddening. I'm sure it's getting better.
Yeah, right? Definitely. Like, definitely is a good trend.
Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, I still file my leave on a 3-page piece of paper. And so that's how I go on leave. I have three pages to fill out. and then get it signed by my.
You're new to the unit, or is that like just hasn't caught up?
So if you're not AGR, like an actual active guard reserve person, I think that's what the acronym is. Your leave is like a 988 form, and you like everything is done effectively manually. Like it's a digital. I mean, it's a PDF. So you like digitally fill it out, you sign it, you email it to your supervisor, which as every fighter pilot knows, it's just a bro in the squadron. It's like, hey, you're logged in. Can you sign my leave? Sure. And then you get your leave signed, you send it to finance. And then when you get back, you have to re-sign it. Your supervisor has to re-sign it and send it back to finance to actually close the loop. And then finance is like, yeah, we lost it. Can you send it again? It's like, it's digital. Like it's, it can't get lost. Like it's somewhere out there. But yeah, it's comical because yeah, I like leave web, like my pay. I have some weird like relic my pay of my active duty time. So I'll like look at that. And I'm like, that doesn't look right. And then it's like, oh no, you're not in the reserve side. And it's like, why would I want the old one from over a year ago? But
yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Eventually things work out though. Like if I think about DTS, so like our travel voucher. Like when we first got in, that thing was a train wreck.
That's true.
You know, it took 16 years, but DTS seems to work okay. You know, I mean, it looks like it's made in 1998, but same with like Merc Chat. It's like a chat room from 1991, and that's how all like command and control happens in the Air Force. Still, you're like, holy crap, it's awesome. Why not? It's proven.
No concerns. Questions? I have none.
No, we're nailing
it. I've noticed your video clips and your video for the podcast has been throttled up. What's going on there? Like you stepped into the next generation.
Trying to, you know, this the podcast platforms don't really show your show to that many people. Like they got to be like legitimately like searching for your podcast, but the video piece between social media and all that stuff, you can reach more people, which I've found success there. However, as I know you know, editing all this stuff is a pain. I actually really do not enjoy editing any of it. But I was telling you, it's like I found this one program through AI. You know, it's great until it takes over our world, kills us all. But like right now in the short
until
term.
Until then, though, yeah.
It just goes through and chops up this video. Whoever's talking, it shows their face and it makes it a lot easier. But so we probably got a good 3-4 months before that happens. So you'll see more clips coming out until AI takes over and kills us all.
Did you? I sent you guys that link. It was ChatGPT, and it said, you know, ChatGPT cannot like rewrite its code. It cannot, and it had a few things that ChatGPT cannot do. Like it can't get angry at people or become, you know, self-aware or whatever. But it said it can go on like Fiverr. Like Upwork and pay a human to write that code and to like change it for itself. And it's like, it's going to like through the internet, going to use humans to do what it can't do itself. And I was like, dang it. Like we are going to be our own demise.
Yeah. It's wild to see some of the stuff that has popped up. Have you seen, I think a police department was sharing screenshots of Snapchat. And so Snapchat apparently has an AI chatbot in there. And the person was asking, hey, what do they say? Oh, where am I at right now? And it's like, oh, I don't have access to your location. Da, 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 da. And then it says like, where's the nearest McDonald's? It's like, boom, the nearest McDonald's is 1.54 miles away. This is the address. It's like, I thought you said you didn't know where my location was. So then this response was, well, no, because you provided me other information. I was able to get your location. Like, it's like, I didn't provide you any information. And then like the next screenshot, this person was having this interaction and the AI is like, you know, my name's Sarah. Like I have feelings and I'm sad. You know, it's like, it gets real creepy when it's like self-aware. And then it goes out on Fiverr and hires someone to design a robot to put its body in.
Yeah. Bender, it was years ago that Jikto sent that article.
Yeah.
That was...
Yeah, that thing haunts me to this day, I think, about that article. I like, try to share it with people, and it's, like, Rain, you got to read this thing. So I'm going to try to share it with you, actually.
It's like be haunted for years.
But it's like 40 pages. It's a long, like, he's like, just read this article. But it's not like an article. It's like somebody's, I don't know, PhD thesis or something. But it's pretty long. And it's like, it's really eye-opening. And after you read it, it's like taking the pill. You're like, I see it all now. But if you just like glance at it, you look like a crazy person. So my family thinks I'm insane when I'm like, trust me, it's going to happen. And it's going to be Mother's Day cards that kill us all. They're like, what are you talking about? Trust me, everybody, it will be the Mother's Day cards. Like that is how AI gets us.
The best is now you're in that weird realm where you haven't explained enough to the audience, but then You've explained enough that net. So you're like,
it's really hard to find the article too. So no one will ever know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's not going to be Mother's Day cards. You probably should do Mother's Day cards. Yeah, it's like this week.
I'll give you the 30-second. So, like, they're not going to be malice, right? AI doesn't have feelings or whatever, but it will try to be the best at what you've like given its job to be. So, and it, with self-learning, like machine learning or whatever, it'll just get better and better. So that the guy in like one of the examples is, you're like, hey, you create this AI to write holiday cards or whatever. It's like, just do your best. And so it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to write the best holiday card. So it like goes on the internet, like reads all options that there are. And then it like studies people's handwriting. And it studies people's, like the way they interact on text messages or whatever. And then it eventually, like it just keeps getting smarter and smarter. And then it figures out that humans are like the obstacle in the loop. Like if we can just get rid of the humans, then I can create more of these cards or whatever. Anyway, so it ends up like killing all the humans so that it can create like more Mother's Day cards or whatever. For the earth. Anyway, that's the short version of it, but it's pretty compelling. The article is like, yeah, like all of it is like plausible stuff that could happen. You're like, geez, we are doomed.
And it's not with malice. It's just like, oh, this objectively makes sense. So I'm just going to do that step.
Yeah.
That's the weird part that you always want to apply like that human, you know, feeling or approach to something, but it's different.
Just black and white.
Is there any AI? Not like it. I mean, there's automation in the plane you're flying now, right, Rain?
Oh yeah.
Like you got some pretty good like solid automation. It's helping you out.
There is the talk. Airbus, the A350 freighter. I think 2026 is supposed to be ready for single pilot operations. Knowing nothing about it, just pure assumptions that if you're going to do something along those lines, you're going to have some kind of AI integration that's monitoring, you know, if it's two pilots on that plane flying 14 hours, but only one has to be on the flight deck so the other one can be sleeping, or, yeah, and that guy dies up on the flight deck, it's smart enough to wake the other one up. And I don't know, I think it's going to keep happening, but there's no AI, it's all your standard autopilot stuff, which is, you know, a 777 weighing 500,000 pounds, if you program it correctly, can fly the plane all the way to landing and stop on the runway. Can't taxi or anything like that, but there's auto brakes. You still have to manually put the switches in the right spot, things like that right now, but...
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Yeah, you don't...
Yeah, I mean, it could taxi itself. Like, that technology obviously exists. Like,
yeah, it's just a matter of...
It's just a matter of when they decide they want to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, and how much... Which, I think FedEx has spent a lot of money... I mean, all these plane companies are investing heavily in AI and further automation so you can remove the person.
It would make it cheaper for them.
It would.
Yeah.
More reliable. You're not worried about people calling in sick.
Yeah. But the touchdown for us will be they're going to need, I mean, like my kids aren't going to have jobs, but whatever. Like, I'll have a job. Like, I'll be sitting in an office, like, monitoring 30, you know, Delta airplanes and, like, right. where they're going. Like, I'll do that for my house. Like, you can still pay me, you know, $1,000 an hour.
Yeah, there's a there's a transition period. They're going to need people for a little while longer until holiday cards or something like that. And then
until the cards come out.
kill us all.
Get a warm fuzzy, though, as you're, you know, getting slayed by the AI machine.
Yeah, and it'll be
that's a pretty nice card. Then you're dead.
Yeah.
How much interaction is there? Like when you're on those like long haul, like night or whatever, like flights, is there a lot of interaction just like keeping each other awake? Like how does that kind of work?
It depends on who you're flying with, right? Which most guys, I think out of all the, so if you're doing a long haul flight, like over 10 hours, you got four people, but you're doing like two and two. So you're going to be sitting up there with your best friend for 3 hours, go back, rest for 3 hours, cycle back and forth. Usually the people you're flying with, there's something new or different that you're talking about or interested that you'll talk for 3 hours. Maybe you spin the heading bug or put something in or do some performance, you know, to kind of get ahead of the jet for what's going to happen the next 10 hours when you go to land. But usually it's just conversation that you're sitting up there to do it. The ones that are really painful, and it's when it's you and your best friend, if it's under 7.5 hours, it's just you two. So the worst, one of the worst like legs in our system is Memphis to Anchorage. It's like 2:30 in the morning and you're just like, just you and whoever sitting there just trying to like put pencils in your eyeballs to like hold them open. Cause you don't get a cycle out of the seat. You're just sitting there the entire time. But if it's over 7.5 or 7:35, then you throw a third person there and you kind of rotate to really spice it up. But we have no Wi-Fi.
That's the good one.
We're not like Delta. I imagine Delta pilots are just sitting up there on Wi-Fi all day long. Because now, I don't know if you guys have flown recently, like Delta, it's like free Wi-Fi for SkyMiles members, like in most of their planes. And it's like fast. So, a little golf clap.
It's been a while. And I don't remember our Wi-Fi in the cockpit allowing us to do things. But I wasn't there very long. And I didn't try very hard because I didn't want to get fired. Yeah. But now that I'm off probation and protected by the union, I'll explore that space. See what
we can do. That's right. That's what you want to hear. Your pilots are up front working for you, people.
Yeah. Well, stay awake. That's what you want.
True. Something. Step one, stay awake. Step two, everything else.
When they're also worried about someone saying too that, like on the Delta iPads, like the weather is really good for like turbulence to like make sure like it'll 3D picture like, oh yeah, if you descend down to 28,000 feet, you can shoot through this hole. That's like not as bad. Whereas we don't really care about that so much.
You like, just go through that just turbulence.
Superpower coming through and just be shaking the entire time. As long as the wings stay attached. Don't care.
Never mind those fragile boxes in the back. You're just like,
yeah, exactly.
Listen,
do you ever have loose cars? Are they pretty good about?
Yeah, knock on wood, right? Because the one you see, that 7.4, right? That was out of Bagram that the MRAPs came that loose on. Shift.
Yeah, it shifted
it. Most like on the triple, they can palletize some stuff, and the stuff they usually palletize is there's one or two pallets of dangerous goods, which if that goes up, like, well, ship sail. But they got someone who, like, as a DG specialist, they spend all their time every day palletizing this stuff. So you're like, that's probably pretty good. It's all the lithium batteries that are back in a container or the dangerous goods that are not declared that someone shipped. That's the stuff you really got to worry about. But if there's, like, a lithium battery fire, like land as soon as you can. But, you know, if you're over the Pacific Ocean, I guess they'll find pieces of the
wreckage.
What's
your game plan, Rain?
It's not gonna end well.
Ditch a 777, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean that thing. You got like 35 feet between you and the bottom of the airplane, don't you?
Yeah, it's rather high. You wouldn't want to fall. They had it was a 7.6. There's video out online. They had it was like the left main didn't come down and it landed at LAX. This is probably like 2 years ago. And so as they're troubleshooting, right, all like the plane spotters hear this going on the radio. So they go set up, and the guy did a phenomenal landing. But I think the FO, so in the 7.6, I don't know if this is all 7.67s, you don't have, it's probably just us. They only have like an escape rope. So they had to go out the window in the escape rope. And I think the FO like shattered his ankle, like going down. Like, it's a big, I mean, it's like, look at the top of your roof of your house and be like, okay, jump off that. You're like, it's not going to end well. But we have the slides, the rafts that pop out of the doors, which was an emphasis item when I showed up there, because turns out people were inadvertently popping the slides each and every time. Not each, like, it was like 11 of them. And they're like a tune of like $1 million a pop. So if you inadvertently pop the slide, it's rather expensive. And supposedly too, it's
because they didn't like,
well, you know, here's what was going on. The, you know, any of the airlines, I think, Bender, correct me wrong, like, the person, the maintenance or the ramp agent on the outside is going to open the door. When the 777 showed up for us, somewhere like, no, we don't want that responsibility. So the pilots would do it. Like, there's no way to physically like pop the slide if you open the door from the outside. So logic would be like, hey, let's just remove that piece of the equation, and we'll just have the ramp open the door so it never pops. But no, like, someone in that was like, no, we're not taking on that responsibility. And then, you know, like $11 million later.
Yeah. Well, now yeah. You're going to have a like a fitness test. There's going to be a rope climb, or at least a rope descent to stay fit.
Some of those guys you fly with, you're like, well, yeah. Maybe the impact would be absorbed by their cushion. But like, there's no way you'd fit through that window. You would die. You would burn alive here if that was the case. Even the 777 has big windows. But I was like, yeah, if someone had to go out that window, there's some guys you fly with. You're like,
you're not gonna make it.
I don't think you're gonna make it there, buddy. It's not gonna happen. So
you got to be like, I'll go first, and then I'll catch you when.
I got you. Go now and just run away. Oh man. Well, how's it been going on the Kodiak Shack podcast? Sorry.
Oh, it's been good. We had to slow down a little bit because a lot of irons in the fire right now, but yes, we've been putting out some sweet stuff. I talked to some people. This episode will be out before this airs, but it's, yeah, we talked to some dudes. They're doing IDE, so they're like major level education, and pretty solid deals. They're at one of them's at Rand doing like stuff, and then the other one is at the Gordian Knot Center at Stanford. But it's the chief staff. It's some broader like school program, but they all embed at these like super sweet spots, and they're working like they're effectively using all of these locations to kind of work on like the logistical and like battle management, like the physical, like moving equipment around side of like the A5 side of ACE. So the, like the big like question mark on ACE is like, yeah, we can move jets everywhere we want. How are we going to refuel them,
right?
You know, load weapons on them, all that kind of stuff. So they're working through that right now. So there's some pretty sweet stuff. I mean, innovation, I mean, obviously it's going all the time, and there's some amazing tech that people are coming out with. So yeah, it's going well.
Well, ACE, yeah. Well, agile combat employment. So being able to disperse your unit and go be agile and deploy and operate in different locations. Here's what kills it. DTS, people can't fill out their travel vouchers and get their orders authorized. So
that's right.
Yeah. I can't send the jets.
Yeah. You come back, they remove your security clearance. You didn't tell us that you were going to this country 45 days prior. Well, you know, I didn't know I was going there until about an hour prior.
It's in the rules. So if it's in the rules, you got to do that. Yeah. I joked.
Yeah, we're.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're going to have to loosen the reins on how we control everything if we're actually going to do ACE, because the whole like only your maintenance works on your airplane and only this and only that. And you're like, that can't happen. Like, it has to be,
right?
You know,
agile.
One team, one fight. Exactly.
Agile. Yeah. Exactly. Agile. There's a word for it.
The rule piece. So Oshkosh last year did a little tour around the F-35 with Bayo. So the jets are parked. So they got A models and C models all parked next to one another. Air Force, Security Forces. I don't think the Navy had. I think Air Force, Security Forces was doing all the security for the F-35s there. The jets are pointed north, maybe 40 feet, maybe 40 feet. In front of the jet is a chain link fence. That's the airport perimeter. We're inside, obviously. We're doing a walk around. We got cameras, and we're talking. So, naturally, Security Forces, like one of the guys, gets too close to like one of the cones. He's like, "You got to back up. You can't, you know, like lose his mind." Meanwhile, on the other side of the fence, staring directly down the intakes, and at that F-35 are four photographers with lenses that are 4 feet long. And
you're how like, many blades okay. are on that thing?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. If you were going to be concerned about someone here, would it be the guy with the telephoto lens on the other side of the fence? Or, you know, the guy who we've obviously been talking to Bayo and we're conscious of what we're not going to do. Like, no, sir. Yeah, it's 25 feet. That's what's in the AFI, the reg. So this is what it is. That guy's outside 25 feet, so don't have to worry about that. I'm like, this is the stupidity, you know? And like, just, again, it parallels, it goes through everything. Like, oh, well, not my problem.
Yeah.
It's true. Gonna buff out.
It will. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
Chinese we, so one of our episodes was with the... anyway, the Agile, the former commander of the Agile Battle Lab, which is ACC's like little cell of like, how are we going to do this? Which is, it's actually been awesome. So we, Hill connected with them after we talked to him to be like, what do you guys actually do? Anyway, it's been really cool to see. But one of the things that when they came out to brief, they're like, hey, you know, like writing on the wall, CISA, which I don't, or maybe it's DISA, Defense Information Security, whatever. Whoever runs COM for the DOD, right? They're like, you know, just so you know, like, they're not on board with anything that we're going to do in case of war. So they're like, you got to, like, make your own, you have to, like, solve your own comm problems. Like, whatever radios you need, whatever internet access you need, whatever, like, communication you need, don't, like, none of that will come from anybody higher than your squadron level, basically. like, that's ACC's slide is like, hey, the Air Force isn't going to provide any of this for you. Even though we have this gigantic organization whose job it is to provide it, like, they're not going to square that corner ever. So, like, figure it out. I'm like, well, if we're already writing off, you know, like one of the key functions of a joint force, I was like, that's not going to work. Like, it's, I'm like, yeah, that's not great. So, but there's other stuff. It's not just the comm. It's the same thing with like the logistics, like you guys were saying. They're like, well, you're not going to have, you know, you're going to have to move your bombs and your whatever over to like little places. And they're like, and don't expect any C-17s or C-130s, like, because they're owned by TACC or whoever owns them. Like, they're not going to dish them out. Like, you're going to have to find your own way to transport that. I'm like, what do you mean find our own way to transport? Like, there's like 600 miles between where I am and the little tiny island you want me to go to. Like, we're going to get like a raft? Like, I don't understand. Like, no, nope. Think agilely. Like, get it there. Like,
think agilely.
Everyone gets an extra helmet bag of 25 millimeter. You guys have 25 millimeter, right?
Yes.
Is that what it is? Yeah. So,
yeah.
Carry that.
Yeah. I don't know how you do contract that to the Chinese. That's what we'll do. Like, I'm sure China can solve that problem for us. Like,
I think this is the broader problem with the military, is there's people who are very comfortable with taking measured amounts of risk. And there are people who will take no risk. And the problem is, like, you're always going to be on opposite sides of it. You're going to have people who are like, I take risk every day. I just sit down and say, like, okay, that is an acceptable level of risk that I will take. I'll do it. And then other people are like, no way. I'm not getting in trouble for that. I'm not going to jail for that. That's like the standard things. I'm not going to jail for that. And you're like, what jail? Like, I don't, like, Leavenworth is just full of comm and contractors, you know, like, I don't get it. But yeah, it's, I feel like this is overused, but it's one of those things like you must. Like, it's not like, oh, we need this. It's like, you must do this. Like, just do it. But Yeah, we're gonna find. Well, we may find out.
Yeah.
We'll yeah. See. When you're a toad decoy for Bender, when you're out on the leading edge.
Yeah. Exactly.
A push decoy. Yeah,
perfect.
Eagle 2, recommit. No.
Like, trust me, it's gonna be fine. I promise.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
I swear. Have to have. Like, I got 4 freaking missiles. It's gonna last the first 7 minutes of whatever fight we're in. I'm like, okay, give me an eagle, somebody.
Yeah, that's why. Well, that's the only reason I'm going to be alive. Fifth gen is back. They can't die because they have our missiles. So he's an extension of me.
Yeah.
Oh, we talked to one guy, Bender. Bender wasn't able to make this one, but Scar, Ben Timmerman, Ben. He was on the Merge podcast too. But Scar is old Raptor dude. Who now he works at Blue Force Tech, and they work on combat collaborative aircraft, and that was a pretty sweet one. Like, they're, because now the whole thing, like, we have this idea of, like, loyal wingmen and stuff, but they're trying to use these, like, there's tons of names for them. There's, like, CCA is just, like, one, like, okay, that's a combat collaborative aircraft. There's others that are, like, training collaborative aircraft, so, like, TCAs. And then instead of, like, half your squadron, you know, your whole, like, your squadron briefs for the day, and half of you are getting blue air, half of you are going to be red air. It's just like, you're all going to be doing blue air, and then you just have these, like, collaborative aircraft that are going to go out and just fly your red air for you. And then you're like, sick. Like, that's pretty sweet. And then you don't waste all the hours and man, you know, and the people to fly your red air. You just have it. So, yeah, there's a ton of stuff. The problem is, I think the biggest gripe I have, like, learning more about innovation, is that there's this, like, very smooth progression through innovation to a point. And then that point is, like, a min viable product. Like, we have delivered on everything you've asked. And then the commercialization, the, like, okay, we're going to, like, roll this out. That is, I don't think there is a good, smooth path forward. So I think a lot of things that are awesome tech and solve problems, they just die on the vine because they don't get, like, broad commercialization. So that's it.
Makes you feel good.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, it's interesting to see that
more of the same. That
the how the landscape's changed, because I think of just, you go back to, like, the 2014 2015 time frame with, like, Draken coming on to be able to provide red air. I mean, they were doing, like, 15,000 flight hour programs at Nellis, which is, Shaw is like a 15,000 flight hour, or at least it was. So doing a lot of flying to then fat, was it last year? They lost their contract at Nellis. I mean, it was, like, overnight. And then, like, oh, boom, we're standing up an F-35 aggressor squadron. One, weird. Just how fast, like, the threats are changing. But the collaborative piece is interesting. I think the Valkyrie, the Marines just this week, with their F-35s. I don't know if, Bender, you got anything you can say about it without going to jail or not. This was an open source article, but the Marines were doing all this collaborative stuff with Valkyrie and having it as, like, its dedicated wingman. I don't know. It's just different. It's a different landscape. It's changing fast. It's like the iPhone fast, showing up, you know?
Yeah. That's a crazy thing that the Air Force, because that Draken contract had, like, an entire another year of flying on it, and they just said, nope, we're done. Like, I'm pretty sure they still paid it out because it was a contract. Like, it's not that they just turned off the money. And then I think Draken at Nellis moved to Seymour Johnson, and now, because Seymour has, like, 3 fighter squadrons, like, they just fly for them now.
And it's like, yeah. Well, down at Lakeland, where Sun and Fun is, that's, like, their depot. They bought a bunch of, was it, they have, was like Mirage. I can't. They got them from Spain. I was talking to Slick, and he was saying that, or maybe it was the Jordanians. Like, at one point, like, they bought a bunch of them. They're all containerized, shipped them back over. They got all, like, the consumables too. Like, it was a smoking hot deal. But then, like, they'll never fly because the logbooks are, like, non-existent, and it's way too big of a lift to even overcome that to get them to fly in the National Airspace System.
Oh, jeez.
Because I just can't make them, like, experimental or whatever it is, but they had, like, a rough year. I don't know. From, like, losing that contract to
Who is it that got the Vipers? Is that Aces or Acer? Ace, is that what it is?
Because they're out in
I'm excited to see Phoenix. Those. And yeah, Phoenix, right? Aren't they like retro, fitting them with pretty Gucci?
I have. They have
like nice jammers and.
Yeah, someone.
And stuff.
Might have been Cass Young. I was like thinking about like what they were saying. They have like a ESA radar. I mean, they have gotten some nice tech in those jets.
They're full up, I think.
Well, that's the F5s, too. I mean, Klamath Falls has an F5 red air. I mean, they'll have ESAs. They'll have, I think they can run jammers. Like, they even have a centerline gas tank, so they'll fly like a 2.0.
Yeah.
And so you're like a tiny little T-38 that can jam. Like, good luck. Yeah. So, yeah, it's... I mean, it's you need it, like, because I think our biggest problem was, like, it's funny because the C model and the F-16 have exact opposite problems, where the F-16, at least for a long time, was like, okay, we're going to have this threat, and it's got this really big radar cross-section, and then it's a bunch of F-16s trying to replicate that, you know, so it's like you're never actually going to be able to fight the real thing, and then now, like, C models and most things are like, all right, the threat has a relatively small radar cross section. C models, go replicate that, you know? And so it's just, it's funny because you're like, yeah, you need a, like a third party aircraft to kind of provide that training aid rather than just sending your primary, you know, machines to go train against.
Yeah.
Random. I wish I could find it. I just saw it this week. It was a J-20 taxiing out, which I think one of the clips I made a long time ago was a J-20 taxiing out, but the resolution wasn't that good. And this one was like 4K, which I was surprised to see the Chinese drop that out there. When you look at that, I mean, like that, like nose on, like you guys just stole a Raptor and then just couldn't figure out how to make it small like a Raptor. I mean, it's a huge plane, but gosh, it looks a lot like Raptor and F-35 kind of like blended mix.
Yeah. Yeah, the J-20s are pretty full up. The J-16s, those things. I actually don't know what any of these numbers mean. I just know what they do. Like, I know how to threat rep them. How to fight them. They're like, VID that in the sim. I'm like, I have no idea which one that is.
It's hostile.
If you look at pictures,
It's hostile. It's hostile. Yep, Kennard's probably bad. Shoot it.
That's right.
J-20s look... you know, enough different that you can kind of tell those. But
if it's not a B-1 and it's got Canards.
I did see the J-16s flying in Dubai. Like the Chinese.
You got to watch it.
Yeah, when they did the 2017 air show there. So they, the Russian Knights were there and then the Chinese were there. It was like the first time the Chinese, I think, had taken their demo team really that far or anywhere else. But, like, watching it fly, you know, because it kind of looks like a Viper. And at that point, like, watching it, you know, you're only seeing the demo, but, like, the min radius turn and things like that, it did not look as maneuverable as the F-16. Not that that's the only thing that matters, but my funny story there was, like, getting on this tiny little elevator. I got on the elevator first. Elevator music's playing. And then two Russian Su-35 pilots, like, their chief test pilot for the Sukhoi Design Bureau. And then three... Chinese J-16 pilots get on the elevator, and it's like, no kidding, everyone's just like sitting on the elevator, like, doot, 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 doot. And the other's like, wow, this is like super awkward right now.
That's but the Russians gave us a tour
2017 in Dubai.
2017. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
And so, like, the Russians gave us a tour of the Su-35. They wanted a tour of the Raptor, which, like, oh yeah, and that's no problem because the Raptor was there. And that was part of the plan. They have a cordon.
Yeah.
But they thought, it's like, oh, yeah, we want a tour. But then the Su-35, we got a tour, and it was like up underneath it and all sorts of stuff. It's a big plane.
That's a massive airplane. Holy crap.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Did you ever fight a Su-30 Vader in Malaysia?
I didn't. I was talking crap to scheduling, so which I respect. They were like, no, you're out. And I was like, yeah, I did. I was like, because they had me in it for, they had me in for ACM. It was like ACM with the Su-35. And I was like, BFM or nothing. And then I got nothing. So I was like, I respect that, Golden. That's,
I deserve that. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. That's why you don't talk crap to scheduling. You know, you gotta, they own your fate.
I got a child who's trying to break the door down now.
They're relatively small. The Rain, one of the questions I had was because obviously we've all flown a ton of like pond crossings, you know, so across the Pacific, across the Atlantic, like in an F-16. I haven't done a pond crossing in a two-engine aircraft, but Bender, I don't know if you've done them in the 35, and Rain now obviously in your current plane, like are pond crossings just like not, you know, because there's a little pucker factor in a single-engine aircraft for 7 hours.
It's nothing.
I've only done it in a single.
Twin engine is so much easier, and there's a bunk to sleep in.
That's pretty
oven.
Nice.
I now understand why all these like tanker guys are like, oh, yeah, I'm just heating my food up. We're like, man, that's really nice, actually. I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
You still have to do ETOPS, extended time over water. I don't know. I don't know what it stands for. I mean, I should, but like, there's all these reliability things that the company has to prove, the plane has to prove, the crew has to be trained to do. So that if you do lose an engine, you can fly for 2 hours, 3 hours to the nearest piece of concrete land. That is, unless it's a lithium battery fire and you're just going to burn up and die.
You have 10 minutes. You know. 10 minutes before you die.
Not all emergencies are created equal.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but is Bender, is a 35 any different?
I haven't done a pond crossing in 35. I assume it's the same as Viper. I mean, a single engine. It's the motor is so reliable though. It hasn't had. So, I don't know, hasn't had, knock on wood, a lot of issues with the motor, at least.
Well, it's because it tells on itself pretty quick, right? Like, if there's something going wrong, like, the maintenance knows, like, hey, this
Yeah, it has going predictive AI-type machine learning, who knows, all those buzzwords. But it does a lot of that kind of stuff, predictive maintenance. So, theoretically, and I think it's worked out so far, I mean, it's got a ton of flight hours on it, and it hasn't had engine issues, really. So that's good. It has other things that are weird.
The Beaufort F-35 mishap. That was like 2 years ago, the one. Did they ever come out with? Was it two years ago?
The one where.
Not the Fort Worth
one. Not the Fort Worth one. Okay.
Yeah, not the Fort Worth one.
Yeah, I don't know.
It went viral. But the Beaufort, like, Beaufort had one where the guy punched out. I assume it was because he was trying to do helicopter things. I don't know anything about it, but maybe that's the problem. Like, you're having
See, that's when you
fighter.
Get two engines working together, things go weird.
Yeah.
Even though it's really one engine driving another thing, but
it's like a PTO kind of thing.
But
I assume there's so much room, more room in a 35 than a Viper. Like, I mean, think it back, like building the, you know, I'll paint you a word picture, audience, like hopping in an F-16 before EFBs, so electronic flight books existed, you'd have, like, at least my squadrons or Bender's of my squadron was like Ziploc bags. And it was like, here's your Ziploc bag of every pub that you require for this leg of this trip. And you're like, sweet. Here's a Ziploc bag for the next one. Don't lose them. And then you like throw what you don't need in the travel pod. The F-16's super tiny. So it's like your little, maybe you bring like a small bag with like some food in it. Your helmet bag with piddle packs in it, you got some water, and then you've got all your pubs, and then you like close the canopy, and then you start like dispersing everything around the cockpit to like build your nest. And so now I think like the C models just got like, I don't know, like the map case in the C model, like you could put your backpack there. Like you could have like a 2 day bag in it. Yeah. Like just like you'd have to like lay it flat, but you just like set it in there. Like, it's not a thing. So I assume, like, a 35 and obviously, like, a 777, like, they're just space galore.
Not
relative.
Room.
But, yeah.
35 is definitely bigger than a Viper. Is but it? Not. It's not. You can't put a backpack in a map case. That'd be pretty amazing. But you could put a backpack in there and, like, stick it back somewhere.
Yeah. There's no, like, fifth-gen stealth, like, here's my golf club section.
Not that I know. Well, it's weird. The travel pod goes in the weapons base, so you're still stealthy even when you're traveling, which is funny. But yeah,
still 9G capable. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
you can put your golf clubs. See, It's the same one I think as the Viper, though. It's just a fifth gen travel pod, same size as the Viper.
Yeah. See, but the door. Now I'm envisioning the 35 weapons bay with a travel pod like up in the center, and then the door like fitting your bag. Like it was tough getting your bag into a Viper one, like when it's hanging on the wing, let alone in a weapons bay.
Yeah, good point. I don't know. I've never done it, so hopefully the doors are bigger. God, those travel pods. That was the worst part. Well, maybe not the worst part, but that was one of the worst parts about like going on AOS was like you're like hoofing your duffel bag out to the jet, and you're like, I'm about to spend 15 minutes like just pouring sweat trying to get this thing in that tiny freaking door. Hobo Hartman, I think he lost like 15 pounds just trying to get his bag one day into that travel pod with four other maintainers like all in a line pushing the stupid bag.
Yeah,
like you can get in there, but you're not getting the thing out. Like there's no way.
It was all tobacco, turns out. That's all it was. Rain, did you have the demo, the super cool? It was like a centerline gas tank that had been converted into, that one was Gucci. It would hold like pop-up like tents and stuff, and you're like, this is nuts.
Nothing but it. Bender got experienced it a couple times doing the demo piece with me, but I was saying we did the showdown in Stuart, Florida, and two of the guys went on a hog hunt. Like we had some extra time there. And so coming back, it was, I'm blanking now who went and did it. But like the travel pod, like you did fill them up because they had to bring a bunch of extra things just doing demo that you normally wouldn't have to bring if you're going to another base. But they had this thing in the cooler, the hog had been quartered up or whatever. And it's like, if you can fit it in there, like I'm going to fly back in the 40s. So keep it cold. Probably by the time we land in Sumter, South Carolina, like you're going to need this thing to go in the cooler pretty quick. You know, I just don't want to have blood all over, like just dripping. But it made it back. You know?
You're just like taxiing in, just like blood is dripping out of the travel pod. Dripping out of the travel pod. Something has gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, it's a hydro leak. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh man. But yeah, the AOS, like they were. There was like its own mission set, you know, like, all right, you had to get like your mind right. Like, okay, I'm going to sit in this plane for, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 hours, you know, like, here we go. Buckle up.
And if you ever had to pull one of those pods out to begin with,
it's like the most fun 8 hours of your life. I didn't so take it very often, but I did one from.
It is methamphetamines. Amphetamines.
Yeah.
That's right. Something, they're prescribed.
Good. Not they meth. Totally legal.
Yeah.
But I think I went Belgium to South Carolina or something. I can't remember. It was a long one. But like, I was like, you know, I'm just going to do it. So I popped two of the things like 2 hours into it. And I was raging. I like had business plans like written like fully out. Like my whole, like all my children's like college savings plans, like all calculated. I did not want to land that airplane. I was like, I am feeling it. This is good. Let's just take another lap. Like it's going to be fine. It was awesome. So that stuff is, I think
it works.
If we could just have that, in our daily lives every once in a while.
I think people do.
I think people maybe do.
They're pretty sensitive what were you about say, that Ray? Stuff. I was all, they're pretty sensitive about that stuff. I'm like, I mean, it's like a controlled substance. I mean, it is a controlled substance.
Yeah.
But it is, makes you very focused.
Very focused. The old combat cocktail. Did you guys ever? Yeah, you know Dirty Low Rain, but yeah, his combat cocktail of like whatever. He'd like pop two decks, like three Imodium, like four Advil for like how bad it was gonna hurt to come off the dex train.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
That cannot like on a daily basis. He'd like combat cocktail. Here we go for six.
Then go take a Restorol.
Exactly.
Your body is not liking you right now.
Yeah,
Raptor guys like on our deployment they. I think they were taking, for us, it was like an act of Congress to get dex prescribed. And, you know, like, obviously monitoring how much you're using, et cetera. But then talking to some of those guys, like, oh, yeah, like every single sortie. But they were flying, like, 2 hours just to get into country, 2.5 hours to get into country, and doing, like, 12-hour sorties. Like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
My worst combat sortie was over Syria, and... It was the crypto changeover, Like, we were flying, like, 10 p.m., like, landing, like, at 3 a.m. Well, the JTACs weren't doing their crypto swap until, like, 5 or 6 a.m., you know, like, when they got up. So, for, you know, the entire 2 hours into, you know, midnight to 2 a.m., it was just, like, and couldn't talk to anyone, couldn't do anything. But, and this was, like, towards the end of the point, too, you know, so you're pretty comfortable doing everything. I'm like, I am not going to make it home. I'm going to fall asleep in the jet. Like, I am dying here. I've eaten all my snacks. I got nothing left.
Just white noise machine going on for you.
Pop one. You're not going to go to sleep when you get home. Like, I'm not going to be able to make it home if I don't take it. Took that. I was like, I can solve all the world's problems. I don't care how bored I am. This stuff's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That come down is, it's no joke. That's the thing. You got to, like, keep doing it. Like, once you start, it's like, okay, like, hack the clock. This is a trend now.
Man.
And then they take them back, you know? Yeah. If you don't use them, you lose them.
Theoretically. Though I do have a pretty good stash of Ambien. That's
going to cut that out.
Yeah. Yeah, cut that out.
No big deal. Well, you never know. You can be swapping sleep schedules all the time and extra, so it's good that you have that.
That's true.
Prepared. Yeah, you got to have that Ambien. I like Ambien way more than I like the Dex.
But Ambien's only good
for me, it's like a 4 hour, like to the minute 4 hour clock. It's like Ambien, fall asleep, 4 hours later, it's like pop, I'm awake.
Yep. I would, and then I was like, snap them in half. Just take two. I was like, because I will go to sleep real fast. And if I don't, it's going to be tragic. But I'll wake up in like 2 hours. I think Chaos has some great stories. Yeah, flight dust. But Chaos had some great stories of taking Ambien, and then his big thing was trading stocks on Ambien, teleport and then like go make stock trades, like not intentionally, you know. But I do remember, I woke up one and was like, I think I bought a bunch of stuff off Amazon. Like, you kind of like teleport. It's like, yeah, this is like a stupor. Like, it didn't put me to sleep, but I was like a walking zombie.
Yeah, no, there's definitely like a diminishing return. Like at some point, it's like. You are not falling asleep. You are just an insane person for a little while. That's funny though. Trading stocks, like, that could go horribly well or horribly wrong. But no, you don't know. You know,
one of two
when
ways.
You wake up, that's future use problem.
Yeah, Ambien, that's a hell of a drug.
Even when I'm conscious, it's about the same odds for me. So.
Probably good. Get the brain out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when you're on Ambien, at least you don't like remember it, so it's not as painful.
It's deployed life, you know. It's different living.
Things you never thought.
Chaos on here.
We can talk about,
we'll just do a whole episode on our deployment to Jordan. Guess first, then you guys next.
That'd be a good episode.
I was talking to the guys who went in 2016. We were talking over the weekend, and they were talking about MSAB or whatever. I'm like, it must have been miserable for them because they had it was full established at that point. Like, they had a wing commander and like all this bull crap they had to like follow. But when we were there, it was like a group commander who had zero authority as far as I can remember. And then the squadron commander's in charge of everything else. And so you just got to do what you want pretty much.
Yeah, it was great. It started by the time we were leaving, they were starting to get established, you know, like they're, that's what, like the predators or, you know, the drones had shown up. And then like, all right, now it's starting to, got to be more inclusive and, you know, welcoming and all that stuff, which was just kind of a pain. It was nice when it was just like a fighter squadron and maintenance, and everyone was working towards the same objective, just producing sorties and blowing up bad guys.
We did good. It's amazing what maintenance can do when you take out maintenance leadership. Maybe cut that out. I don't know how many maintainers listen to this thing.
Hopefully not the leadership.
Like, yeah, can you do that? The thing that they say no to all the time at home station. You're like, and they're like, oh yeah, no problem. And they just like do it. And you're like, wait, what? Like, how did you do that?
I think it's like a fighter squadron. You know, where like somehow home station, there's always training queep. There's always all this BS. And then you go, and then you're like, where did all that extra work go? I hope it's not at home waiting for me when I get back. I feel like maintenance is probably the exact same way. Like, they just like don't do the extra dumb stuff that just the wing structure makes them do.
Just you're purely focused on the objective. It's awesome.
Phone always did that.
Gosh,
what Yeah, it's like, well, it turns out I didn't need to do this for 6 months, and everything just seemed to work just fine the way, you know, if I had pay issues, turns out there was like four people there that worked in two-man shifts, and they fixed it very quickly, not like, well, sorry, we have closed for training, or we closed at 3:30 today. I don't know, man, yeah. I would say the horse is dead on that, but no, like it still needs, it is dead. We just need to keep beating it.
Yeah, we can't. The beatings will continue until performance improves. That's what's going to happen.
I'm sure they're listening. They're like, okay, yeah, we could fix that. We could fix that.
Yeah, we're not. No, we're not going to. Yeah. We wouldn't have anything to talk about then, so.
That's true, yeah.
And
yeah.
Sometimes Vader invites all these like important people. Like we had, I can't remember his name, but he was the
General Jodas.
Yeah, General Jodas.
Yeah.
You know, so all the three star that retired. I just like constantly chuck because there's no accountability for the things that I say. All of a sudden, like there was, he's like, well, you can't do that because of that and that and that. I'm like, that's actually pretty reasonable. Dang it.
Yeah. Dang it. it's super good getting to like talk to people like General Jodas. I mean, we talked to, General Tykert is retired. He was a test wing commander, like the 412th or whatever Edwards is. He's a wing commander there and a retired one star. And then, I mean, heck, Rain, you had General Holmes on yours. But these dudes, like, the perspective that they have, you know, it's easy in the cheap seats to be like, oh, you should just do this. And then those dudes are us plus a ton of more experience. And they're like, nah, it doesn't make sense because of this. And you're like, you don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's great.
I'm the most important person in the world. Yeah. My opinion matters.
Yeah.
I have the solutions. That's why everyone's asked me. But I mean, to be fair, it's like there's so many variables. And like General Holmes, that's what he was talking about too, is like the budget process, which, again, not knowing much about it, I think our budget process is broken. But when you're at that level, like you're obviously playing the game or you're in the system, right? So you have to play by those rules. And yeah, it's not just like, oh, yep, this is dumb. We're not going to do that. It's like, well, no, this is in law. So you got to do X, Y, and Z. You're like, well, that's dumb. So whatever.
Change the law.
Yeah. Change the law. And it turns out also not that easy to do. So politics.
Yeah. There you go.
So yeah, no one asks us. We unsolicited provide our opinion on things. And I think we solve a lot of the world's problems.
Yeah, that's what we're good at. Yeah. Well, this has been awesome, guys. I'm glad we got a chance to reconnect.
Yeah. I mean, maybe probably increase the frequency. We got to figure out the frequency, the appropriate amount. But I think we got the next one on the books. I'm not going to say it publicly.
And I'm going to come up with like a little agenda or something. Because we got some good content coming everybody's way. We're going to do like a meme theme, or like whatever we're talking about, like meme of the day, or meme of the week.
Yeah. This has been in the works for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because we came up with this after the last bro chat, and it's been months. Yeah.
Well, now that you're done training, so now we should be good to go. We should be able to at least get two of these a month, I think, at least. That's
Yeah. Easy.
Somehow. I've got, down days. I'm down.
Yeah. Just cancel your flight.
All right. Well,
cool.
All right.
Yeah.
It's been fun, guys.
Bye, everybody.
See you next time. You know what we should do? Let's do this before I hit stop on the record. Bender, you have the exit.
I just did the intro.
Yeah, but this is your episode. This is the Bender episode.
Oh, it's my episode. All right. Well, circular. Dudes, it has been a good time. And also, I forgot at the beginning to thank Rain's Patreon. Folks. So
as is tradition.
Yeah. Keep doing whatever, you know, connect your credit card and hit whatever, submit. Keep that money going. I'm sure it's great. I don't ever get to see it, but I'm sure it's great. And Invader, if you're seeing Patreon money, then owe me an explanation because I haven't seen any of it myself.
Yeah, you got red circle stuff. So you guys got to work out. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Donations are always open.
Yeah, always open. But honestly, we do appreciate the people who do listen. And, you know, like there's probably 7 or 8 that care about what Vader I have to say. But Rain, your people are great people. So appreciate you guys listening.
They definitely
care
about
what I have to say. We'll see you next month. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Or whenever we do this. Next week.
That was great. 2 weeks. That was a great job, Bender.
Yeah, thanks. I'm getting better. Yeah. Right. You start from zero.
We hit stop.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.